This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and so is BOGO. Buy one, get one. To order, go to EdenPure.com and put in code word Howie BOGO.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I did want to talk a little bit here about the border, and I see you guys are on the line to talk about gun control and the horrible, horrible shooting that happened in Colorado. The left, to no one's surprise, is politicizing this and making it all about gun control. But before we get to those heavier topics, I have to address something. You guys know my bread and butter is the celebrity world. And I've drifted far away from it. You know, after years and years of going on Howie's show and, you know, even the slightest mention of the Kardashians would cause him to shudder. And he would say, nope. Well, I'm trying to get back into it because it really is my passion. And there's a great piece in the New York Post today. Orlando Bloom is the most out of touch, mockable celeb. And I just want to read these really quick here. We're not going to do a whole segment on it. But he did an interview, A Life in the Day, and it's a rundown of his daily activities. You ready for these, Jared? This is Orlando Bloom. I wake up at around 6:30. I have a smart ring sleep tracker, and the first thing I do is look at the app to see if I've had a good night's sleep and check my readiness for the day. Back to fasting before breakfast, Bloom tells us he has to earn that first meal, so he has some green powders, and I mix that with brain octane oil, collagen powder for my hair and nails, and some protein before going on a hike. Keep in mind, he has a newborn baby. He's also 90% plant-based, so I'll only eat a really good piece of meat maybe once a month. I sometimes look at a cow and think, that's the most beautiful thing ever. During COVID, I started building Legos again. I build mostly cars and find the methodical nature of creating this little thing makes me feel like I'm achieving something else. He also chants for 20 minutes every day religiously. Maureen Callahan writes,
we need you.
Maureen Callahan writes, like most celebrities, Bloom is a grade A narcissist, most interested in himself, his food intake, his workouts, the Buddhist practice that allows him to change the narrative in my head, and that all-important sleep tracker. And then these celebrities wonder why nobody watches their award shows anymore and nobody cares about them anymore. It's because they're so obnoxious. They're so out of touch. It's like, yeah, I know you're worried about going back to work or, you know, your kid going back to in-person learning, but just know that come election time, you should really take your advice from someone like Orlando Bloom, okay? Because in between building Legos, he probably keeps up with politics and he knows what he's talking about.
He eats a lot of brain powder. I mean, he's got to be smart, right?
And he doesn't eat. He eats meat once a month and he looks at cows and says, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Ugh. You know, it's been a while since I read something that obnoxious. Usually it comes from Gwyneth Paltrow, but that's kind of her thing, you know? Like, she's embraced that part of her life, but for Orlando Bloom, that is embarrassing. Okay, though, let's get to some of these calls here. Let's start with John. You've been waiting a while. Go ahead, John. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show.
Hey, Grace. How you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm just going to say, and I like your little celebrity poo-poos that you do. because you poo-poo on them, I love it. So I don't mind that at all. But I was just going to say, you know, it's interesting. I know you know this is true. I mean, everything that President Trump has said is coming through, whether it be the gas and oil energy costs going through the roof, higher taxes for everybody, you know, open borders, you know, going after the Second Amendment, the old Rahm Emanuel doctrine, don't ever let a crisis go to waste. This is all stuff that we were told was going to happen with the left, and we knew it. You know, you get a pothead like Melo Harris lecturing me about guns this pothead that she is.
Well, I don't know if I'd call her a pothead, but no, John, I appreciate the call. And I think one thing that's coming true a lot faster than people probably expected is the situation on the border. Mexican President Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador blamed President Biden for the migrant surge that has erupted into a full-blown crisis, arguing the expectations he set left migrants with the perception that they would be let in. I want to read a couple of these quotes here. He said, expectations were created that with the government of President Biden, there would be a better treatment of migrants. And this has caused Central American migrants and also from our country wanting to cross the border, thinking that it is easier to do. People don't go to the United States for fun. They go out of necessity. They see Biden as the migrant president, and so many feel they're going to reach the United States. And now Biden's like, oh, we're gonna put back Remain in Mexico. You know, a little bit late. Maybe if you just didn't get rid of it in the first place, you wouldn't be in this situation. But the situation at the border is getting worse and worse. And Senator Rick Scott was actually talking about this. Let's play a couple of his sound cuts. This is cut six.
Last Friday, I had the opportunity to go to the Arizona-Mexico border with Governor Ducey from Arizona. And what we saw is what Biden's open borders amnesty policy are doing. I met with Border Patrol agents. They're flabbergasted at these changes. We took a helicopter, went down along the coast, and here's what you saw. You saw a wall. Then you'd have an opening because they were ready to put the gates up, and the Biden administration says, no, you can't put the gates up. You saw cameras and lights. They're ready to be hooked up so we can have better security. Shut down. They won't let them open that up. You saw roads that were supposed to run along the wall that are going to be washed out because of the rains that will come, unfinished, because the Biden administration made a decision that they're not going to finish the construction that Congress appropriated.
But keep in mind, they are going to confiscate every weapon in America. They are going to, enact more gun control and more gun laws. So they've got that going for them. But I do want to play also this cut here from Media Research Center, where they show you the difference between how the media covered Trump versus how they're covering Biden. We all know this. You know, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. But to hear them side by side is pretty amazing. This is cut five.
Well, the images suggest those of concentration camps.
The Statue of Liberty, I think, is weeping right now.
There's no denying that this is an incredibly complex humanitarian issue that's, of course, made even more difficult by the fact that we're dealing with this in the midst of a pandemic.
He will be forever remembered as the president who traumatized little children.
A lot of these children are part of a problem that the Biden administration inherited from the Trump administration.
Oh, I get it. He inherited bad stares from the Trump administration. He inherited a broken system. They have no shame. I cannot say that enough. They're the least consistent people on the planet. And they bend themselves into pretzels to prove their narratives that don't add up. Let's go to the calls again. Bob D., you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, Grace. I want to talk about the gun issue.
Yeah.
I'm 71 years old. I served in the military, infantry, sharpshooter. I've never had a gun. But, I'm just barely 5'5 at this point. You know, you shrink as you get older. My wife's 4'10. And all last summer, there's riots going on. Even towns north of New York City, there's people walking around harassing people, jumping on their porches, looking in their windows. I don't see why. I went through another training course. I've actually had two training courses, but I never got a gun, and I'm going to get one now. I'm in the process of getting one. I got my license to carry. But why shouldn't I have a gun to protect myself and my wife when these people are allowing people to come across this border unchecked, members of that gang,
MS-13.
Yeah, members of the gang coming into this country. Why wouldn't I want to protect myself and my wife?
No, that's a great point, Bob. And I think that's what a lot of Americans are thinking. It's why people are saying that Joe Biden might be a better gun salesman than Barack Obama. It always blows my mind that the people who are the loudest about restricting guns are also the same people who are protected every single day by armed security. But the rest of us, you know, we're supposed to just, I don't know, we're supposed to learn how to hide in closets and run away, I guess.
Well, I'm not diabetic. I'm not. So it would be the equivalent of me saying, well, I don't need insulin. Why do people need insulin? Why is that even available to people?
Ban it.
Ban insulin. Like, what are you guys doing?
We need common sense insulin control. That's what we need. Really quick, before we go to the break, Russ, go ahead. You're next with Grace. Go ahead, Russ.
You know, Grace, really, there is no doubt, okay, that the American left, whose goal is to divide and conquer this country, they realize the only way they can do that is by taking away our First and Second Amendment rights. Now, I'm depending on Alan Dershowitz to defend our First Amendment rights, and as far as our guns, I'm depending on the NRA. Because if the day ever happens that we lose our First Amendment rights and Second Amendment rights, we're living in a dictatorship. And just think, okay, with hate speech, politically correctness, and everything else, that's how they're going about trying to take away our First Amendment rights.
And Russ, and yet, the part of it that drives me the craziest is that it would be one thing if it were people who were, you know, having success after success and that were really killing it, you know, whatever they were doing, like whether it's on the border or the economy or whatever, they were 100 out of 100 every time. But these people, whether it's the news media or whatever, all they do is get things wrong. All they do is make mistakes. And all they do is make our lives miserable. Miserable. Think about it. Think about the last year. We've been locked up inside, depressed, looking out the window, hoping that maybe we can, you know, get outside and have a cocktail. And that's what they want. And what they want even more is for you to, you're banned off Twitter because you're a conservative. This is what I really see the future being, as scary as it sounds. We're banned off any sort of platforms. We can't go to work because, you know, there's another strain. We don't have guns, so we have to rely on the FBI, you know, to handle all of these tips they get. And it's just, we're all listening to President Dr. Fauci. I hate to be a downer. And don't worry, the rest of the show is not going to be about this. But I used to make fun of people who would talk like that. I used to be like, oh gosh, so extreme. But is it? I don't know. Is it extreme? Like that caller said, why shouldn't he have a gun? Why is he supposed to not protect his family? What, because he can't afford to hire security? He's just supposed to learn how to, you know, run away from an active shooter? I don't know. I don't know, but I appreciate all the calls. 844-500-4242. It's true what they say, a perfect smile's change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. Many people walk around not smiling because they aren't happy with their teeth. You don't want to live like that. You want to smile, and once you're smiling, it really changes a lot of aspects of your life. It makes you happier, and it makes you more sociable, and you just feel good. And if you want to check out the incredible transformations, go to perfectsmiles.com. They have testimonial videos that are really awesome. You can watch Howie's there. Dr. Houghton really is an artist. Perfect Smiles is conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire. Parking is free. That is huge. And the staff is lovely. You guys will love them. They'll treat you like family. If you've been wanting to upgrade your look for years, this is your sign. Do not wait any longer. Contact them today and look at their video testimonials. Don't take my word for it. Take the word of people who have been there and who love their results. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. We'll be back on the other side with more of your calls, more of your input. And don't forget, we have Andy Ngo at 1:30, which I am pumped about. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
G She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
I got to give such credit to my fabulous callers because you guys make such great points. And a friend of mine just called me about one of the callers we had just put on the air and said, I think the guy's name was Johnny. He said, Johnny's absolutely right because Trump doesn't just hold the record for keeping his own campaign promises during his term, but he holds the record for all of the things he promised Biden would do. And remember the press, they said, oh, you know, he's exaggerating. You know, and you don't have to worry about Joe Biden doing that. You don't have to worry about a crisis at the border. Joe's moderate Joe. You don't have to worry about Joe taxing the rich and then eventually taxing you. He's not going to do that. Trump's exaggerating. Gas prices are not going to go through the roof. Everything Trump said not only turned out to be true, but within like 60 days, which is kind of unreal when you really think about it. Today's poll question is brought to you by JJ Manning Auctioneers. From high-end homes to estates to commercial properties throughout New England, JJ Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency-free. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com or call them today at 800-521-0111. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which do you think happens first? Biden gives a solo press conference or Biden visits the border?
Biden, and my theory is that Biden is going to visit the border tomorrow as a way out of the press conference. Which kind of makes sense why he was waiting so long.
Biden visits the border 58% to 42% for Biden gives a solo press conference.
I just can't see him giving a press conference. I couldn't see him, you know, participating in the debates way back when, but he's gotten so much worse since. Joe, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Grace. How you doing? Congratulations. Great show.
Thank you, sir.
Listen, three quick points. I won't tie you all up. I do believe that in the Second Amendment, either the first, second line, it says Congress shall make no laws. Now, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer love to wrap themselves in the American flag when it's convenient for them. They love to be these constitutionalists. That's number one. Number two, the death rate in Chicago last year of handguns or whatever murders far outweighs all the mass shootings combined. Yet we hear crickets from the left. The third point I'd like to make is that if you had a 12-gauge shotgun, 9-round, and you sawed off, which is known as sawed-off shotgun, you would be able to do a hell of a lot more damage. What do you think about that?
Joe, I think those are three great points. As far as the first one goes, you're absolutely right that the Democrats love to reference the Constitution. Especially, Joe, I don't know if you remember this, when we were having all of those constitutional crises during the Trump administration, it was every other week. They like referencing the Constitution like Nancy Pelosi enjoys referencing the Bible when it comes in handy for her, when it fits her narrative. They love the Constitution. You know, it's the Joe Scarborough would, you know, bluster on air. This is a mockery of our Constitution. And now, like you said, they'll move on from that. As far as the second one about murders in Chicago and other places, that does not fit their narrative, so they don't run with that. I think those are all great points, Joe, and I really do appreciate the call. And I hope you're right. I hope these Dems aren't able to do much. Bruce, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Really quick, Bruce, go ahead.
Okay, Grace, I just wanted to say, you know, what you said earlier, you don't want to be depressed about what's going on. The fact of the matter is, everything that's going on, the Dems said they would do. They said they're going to make Puerto Rico and D.C. a state, and they're going to do it. They said they're coming for our guns, and they're going to do it. They said they were going to get rid of the filibuster. They're going to do it. And meanwhile, you get all these Republicans saying, well, in 2 years, there's no 2 years.
Right. No, Bruce, fabulous point. My callers today are on fire. I agree. They told us this. We were the idiots who didn't believe them the first time. Guys, we'll be back with Andy Ngo on the other side. You don't want to miss this.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
You know, it's such a busy news day that I almost forgot that Joe Biden told us, I think it was yesterday, that dogs are actually, they might help cure cancer. And I, you know, Jared, I'd be remiss if we didn't get this in at some point. So let's play cut one.
And by the way, dogs may help cure cancer. Not a joke. Dogs are able to, they're using dogs now because their olfactory glands are 400 times what a human is, to smell cancer in people's legs and people's bodies. Not a joke. It's a fascinating thing.
I like dogs. I'm not anti-dog, okay? And I just want to say, I know that their noses are amazing. I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts, and the stuff that dogs can sniff out is really mind-blowing. But I didn't know they could cure it. I didn't know that they were part of the team that's going to cure cancer. Anyway, though, before we spend too much time on that, my next guest, I've been talking about this for a long time. You guys know how excited I am. Andy Ngo is with us. He's a New York Times bestseller. His latest book, which I'm sure many of you have and have heard about, is titled Unmasked: Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy. Andy, thank you for joining the Grace Curley Show, and congratulations on the huge success of your book.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Andy, my first question for you seems, it seems like the left is in real denial that not just that they have a problem with Antifa, but even that it exists. I'm seeing a lot of debates, whether it's on The View or, you know, on CNN, MSNBC, whether or not Antifa actually exists. And in your book, you write a lot about the violence and the havoc that they wreak. So why do you think there is this urge from the left to downplay the fact that this is happening?
Well, I think we've seen for a while now that to much of the mainstream left, the elite left, evidence is only matters some of the time. And the evidence that I present in Unmasked, as well as my several testimonies that I've given to Congress about Antifa, is not in dispute in terms of a big fraction of the book is because of my citations, and I cite from court documents, from police statements, all official primary sources about the violence that is being carried out by these militant far-left extremists. Now, I think the bigger question is, how did this transformation happen in terms of this denial of reality by, let's say, those in the media, those who are supposed to be the objective truth tellers? I think it goes down to the capture of pretty much every institution by the left. And within that, the left has been now taken by critical race theory ideologies. So there's no such thing as objective fact to them. They argue evidence doesn't matter. So you can present, for example, statements from affidavits where an Antifa extremist in Portland, for example, was involved in the arson attack during a riot and told roommates that she was excited about being involved in Antifa and was looking forward to injuring or killing police. You can present that evidence and then it's just ignored wholesale.
Right. And Andy, you were actually attacked by Antifa in 2019. And what you point out in your book is that it's just one of many attacks, and you try to kind of go back to the beginning on how this movement started. Can you explain to my audience how it started and, you know, where it's at right now?
So the various Antifa groups in the United States claim sort of a spiritual connection to the original capital A Antifa, which is particularly telling because the first Antifa group was the paramilitary of the German Communist Party before World War II. So they're not even hiding their own communist sympathies. And these, you know, they may call themselves anti-fascists, but these are anarchist communists who view the United States and its allies and American ideas and philosophies as wicked and fascistic and needing to be destroyed. So, for example, when they attack buildings such as courthouses or police stations or businesses. They do it because there's a lot of symbolism and meaning behind that violence. They try to burn down the federal courthouse in Portland because they don't recognize the rule of law. They view the American criminal justice system as irredeemable and cannot be fixed or reformed. It needs to be burnt to the ground, which is why Antifa and BLM chant, burn it down, burn the system down. They mean it literally. They do, for similar reasons, attack police stations and try to kill police officers. And in terms of the destruction of private property, businesses and homes, apartments, they do that because they view capitalism as a vector for fascism to spread. So it's my book. One, the main thing that I hope people take away from it is that they may use these labels like calling themselves anti-fascist, anti-racist, calling them advocates for social justice and, merely just protesters. All of it is euphemisms to hide from the truth of what they are, which is revolutionary far-left extremists who call for and carry out violence.
Now, I have to ask you, because I get this question from a lot of people, why are so few Antifa members? I've seen you in interviews talk about this, that there's very few members of Antifa, no matter how much, you know, harm they cause, that are actually arrested or, you know, are legally brought up on charges. Why do you think that is?
It's because our law enforcement agencies are politicized. I mean, it's no surprise seeing at the federal level how corrupt some of these agencies were and what investigations they chose to carry out and how they carried them out. I think that applies also to the politicization and how they cover far-left extremism. You know, we see the full weight of the federal government come down on those who are accused of being involved in the riots on the 6th of January in the Capitol. And that's those type of investigations I support, but I support that across the board, and they're not willing to do that when it comes to those who are involved in far-left extremism. We've now had, in Portland, more than a third of the federal riot cases of people trying to burn down federal property and storm federal property. And when I say burn down, these are people who are bringing homemade IEDs and setting off bombs in Portland, in a major American city. And more than a third of those cases have already been dropped. The ones who have pled guilty, all they get is probation, no jail time. That's at the federal level. That's supposed to be better than the local level. At the local level, we have the DA who has dropped over 90% of the cases of the 1,000-plus individuals who have been arrested at the riots in Portland. So it's a breakdown of rule of law. It's a breakdown of order. It's a breakdown of how the whole system functions. So in a sick way, some of what these people are chanting on the far left is right. The system is not working. It's broken. I agree with them on that, but it's broken, I think, for different reasons.
I'm speaking with Andy Ngo. He's the author of Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy. Andy, I think part of the problem, too, is that we see from the press, they'll cover Antifa only as much as they have to, but they won't ever really get into just how violent some of these attacks are. I know that you were attacked in 2019, but you've also looked at a lot of these police reports. Can you kind of get into some of the details here about how violent these groups can get?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of the violence has been concentrated in the American Pacific Northwest because the political leadership there is weak and it's all uniformly left. And so I'll just name off a few examples off the top of my head just from the past couple of years. So in 2019, there was an Antifa militant who came armed with a rifle to the ICE facility in Tacoma, Washington. And he came with homemade firebombs and was starting fires, made a car explode, and according to what police are saying, was trying to ignite a 500-gallon propane tank that was attached to the building. He ended up getting killed in the process. Now, that is, in my view, a terrorist attack, but it was not covered as such in the media, and a lot of people aren't even aware that that even happened. In 2020, in my home city, on the streets of downtown, an Antifa militant, a so-called self-styled BLM security volunteer, ended up following a Trump supporter in downtown and waiting for him around the corner and shooting him dead with a pistol before fleeing out of state and ending up getting killed by federal authorities. In Chaz, in Seattle, in nearby downtown, for more than 3 weeks, Antifa and BLM were able to take over 6 blocks of city property, created a hard border, and essentially, in my view, declared an act of war in that they said that they were a sovereign territory who did not recognize American jurisprudence. And that led to 6 shootings, attempted raids, arson attacks, mass destruction and violence, and 2 homicides.
Now, Andy, I want to switch gears here really, really quick because we only have so much time left. I saw an interview with you recently, and you were discussing your opinions on the left's coverage of anti-Asian American hate crimes. And you kind of said that you don't usually talk about this, but you are Asian American, and you said you find the narrative that's being pushed right now to be offensive. Can you kind of explain where you're coming from with that?
So, hate crimes against Asian Americans have been going on for a long time, but the media, the mainstream legacy media, is not paying attention to it until they feel like they can blame it either on Trump or white supremacy. And both of these are misdiagnoses. So I feel it's important for me to speak up, even if these are not the normal reporting beats that I cover. You can look at the data from the DOJ on the rates of perpetrators and victims and interracial violent crimes affecting Asian Americans. And overwhelmingly, it's being caused by Black Americans. And that may be a sobering, uncomfortable fact to discuss, but I think we need to talk about the data and the information that we have, the empirical evidence, openly so that we can address it. Now, if we're blaming it on things like white supremacy or Trump, then you're placing the blame elsewhere, in my view, for a very cynical political game. And, I mean, it's people's lives and well-being who are on the line. I felt very sick that the way politicians and journalists and commentators chose to immediately assume that the shootings in Atlanta were because of anti-Asian sentiment, when local investigators as well, the FBI, came up pretty quickly to say there's absolutely no evidence for that. And they try to play that same race baiting game with the shooting that happened in Boulder, Colorado this week, and that blew up in their face when the suspect ended up not being a white man, but rather a Muslim Syrian immigrant.
Yeah, and Andy, before I let you go here, this is Andy Ngo. You guys can follow him on Twitter at Mr. Andy Ngo. It's N-G-O, and make sure you check out his book. It's fabulous. It's Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy. Andy, without getting into specifics, out of respect for, you know, certain people that I don't want to name anybody, but the reception of your book from some people on the left, it's been really controversial, and even people who voice that they like it or they learn something for it, they seem to be getting punished for just expressing a different opinion. Are you surprised that this book has managed to infuriate the far left like it has?
I'm not surprised, because even before the book came out, there were efforts in the Pacific Northwest to get the book banned from some of the big bookstores, and they did have some minor success with that. The hatred that's been directed at me, I'm used to that. I've been dealing with that for a few years now because of the reporting that I do. But it does pain me a lot to see people who dare to read my book and have something maybe nice to say about it, but they are made to suffer. So it's not, you know, this is just, I mean, people might want to call this cancel culture. I don't think that's the right term. We're really dealing with it's like a cultural revolution and this sort of witch hunting culture that people are trying to normalize. And that's a quick way to break down society and move us into tribal warfare, in my view.
Andy Ngo, thank you so much for joining the show. We hope to have you on again soon.
Thank you.
All right, guys, and we'll have that available for podcast if you want to share it with your friends. If you've ever wondered what makes Omaha Steaks so damn good, it's the aging process. Omaha Steaks ages their steaks at least 21 days because that's the sweet spot. It's where the magic happens. You can try those mouthwatering steaks in the Butcher's Bestsellers Grill Pack. It includes four of their iconic and fork-tender Butcher's Cut Filet Mignons, four ultra-juicy burgers, four savory pork chops. See, pork chops, Jared, I don't know if you know this, underrated.
Very underrated.
People don't pay enough attention to pork chops, but Omaha Steaks, they know what's up. So you get the four savory pork chops, desserts, and so much more. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter Curly with an E, C-U-R-L-E-Y, into the search bar for a special price on the Butcher's Bestsellers package. Plus, you'll get four more chicken breasts and four more of those delicious burgers for free.
Don't be Orlando Bloom. Don't only have one steak a month.
No.
Get the Omaha Steaks and eat steak and pork chops all the time.
You know what? I'm proud of this show. If that's the one thing you take away from this show, then I'm okay with that.
I would look at an Omaha Steak and say, you know what? That is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen.
Indeed. Omaha Steaks has been the leader of gourmet steaks and food since 1917. No one comes close to matching the flavor, tenderness, and value of Omaha Steaks. So here's the deal. You want to go to omahasteaks.com, type keyword Curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y, into the search bar and order the Butcher's Bestseller Pack today. Don't forget, you'll get four free chicken breasts and four burgers. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Curly. We'll be back on the other side with your calls. This is the Grace Curly Show.
Curly Show will be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I think that Andy Ngo had a great point, one of many, but he said it's not cancel culture. It's, you know, it's the foundations of a cultural revolution. And maybe the term cancel culture is a little bit too soft on what's really happening right now. Bob, you've been on the line a long time. What's going on, Bob?
Hi, Grace. Thank you for answering my call.
Of course.
I wanted to strongly urge you to start saying a word every day. And it's not white supremacy. It's the elite supremacy. Elite supremacists. The elite supremacists come in all colors. They think they're better than everyone else.
Yeah, I think
Obama.
Sorry, Bob, I don't want to cut you off, but I think a big part of what you're saying is kind of what Donald Trump Jr. said, which is it's liberal privilege. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes, you can say that, too. Everybody has to stop saying the word white supremacy. Elite supremacists, that's the real danger. John Kerry, he thinks he's better than everyone else. Obama, he thinks he's better than everybody else. It's the elite supremacists. They come in all colors. They don't want us to say that word. It's the elite supremacists.
You know what, Bob? I think that's a good point. And I think that a lot of people in the United States are sick of being told what to do. They're sick of being told whether or not they can have a gun or whether or not they can go to work or whether or not they can walk outside and breathe in fresh air. Or, you know, whether or not they can tweet about a book and say they like it without losing their jobs. Yeah, there's a whole list of things, and I appreciate the call, Bob. Please call back. We do have some sound here. We might have to wait for the other side. Oh, no. Yeah, we'll wait for the other side. Jen Psaki was asked about Hunter Biden. It's, you know, the Biden administration, they're so over their heads, and we're so early on in this. I can't stress that enough. We're 60 days in, not even. And Biden saying dogs are going to cure cancer. Psaki's talking about Hunter. We got it all on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.